Hello, this is Mark Tiley, and welcome to a little bonus podcast. Another chance to hear a guest who dropped in on the line live on the morning show to celebrate 50 years of Dr. Hook, a new album, and a tour coming next year. Dennis LeCorrier. Jess, one of those massive Dr. Hook classics, and he's with me. Dennis LeCorrier on the line from West Sussex. Dennis, I thought you'd be in Las Vegas.
Yeah. Wait, why? Who's going anywhere?
Well, yeah, true enough.
And if I was in Las Vegas, I'd never be back here.
True enough. And you settled in West Sussex, having met a rather special person.
Yeah. And I'd like to think so have they.
Quite so, sir. Hey, listen, it's lovely to catch up with you. And obviously, we're going to talk about the tour and everything. We've got people on tenterhooks. Sorry, did I throw that in? Listening in Liverpool and Belfast and around the coast. Because although we're on the Isle of Man, we've got a lot of followers around here. And we'll talk about the Liverpool and Belfast dates and Dublin, of course, as well, a little later.
Right.
I want to just take you back to the change of the name, because it was so much more than a name change from when you had the Medicine Show as part of the name to just Dr. Hook, because the whole band seemed to change gear at that point.
Well, you know, it was lucky for us we could, because the whole music business seemed to change gear. I mean, you know, when we were called Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show, we were playing in a little bar in New Jersey, and quite honestly, we could have been called anything. You know what I mean? It didn't really matter. People were just drinking and dancing, and you know. But when we became Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show, the recording and touring entity, we were a bunch of hippies, and you know, the world was a bunch of hippies, and our records were reflective of who we were and a lot of the times. And then all of a sudden, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, I'd walk into a restaurant with hair down the middle of my back and everybody had canceled their orders, you know. So I thought, okay, maybe something is changing here. And radio started to change.
Yeah.
Because I could, you know, I used to go to a lot of the stations and meet everybody, the program directors and everything, and it just seemed like things were changing. And, you know, we weren't there to be defiant, you know what I mean? I wasn't in school saying, oh, you're not going to make me cut my hair. I mean, it was just a sign of the times. And so we shortened it from Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show just to Dr. Hook. And it seemed to work. It was easier to remember. I mean, there was more room on the marquee. They always used to say, I'm sorry, we didn't have enough letters, you know?
And also the music changed. I mean, I loved all the early. I mean, Shel Silverstein, what a writer, freaking at the Freakers Ball. I mean, Sylvia's Mother, we played that earlier. These were amazingly detailed songs. But as you say, they were sort of niche, weren't they?
Yes, and I'll tell you what they did. They also helped us develop a personality.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? As an act to the world. We were a person, Dr. Hook, oh, those guys. You know, whatever those guys meant, it meant something to people. So when we changed our style and even our look radically, everybody knew it was those guys. Oh, Dennis got a haircut. You know what I mean? And so it seemed like we were changing with the times. It didn't, and that's all we were really doing. I mean, you know, we all had families. And you know, we went bankrupt in like 1976, I think it was. And, you know, hence our album called Bankrupt, because we were trying to be honest. And we went bankrupt. And you know, our big decision right there at that point was, okay, are we done? You know, because we'd had a couple of hits. We'd traveled the world a little bit. Are we finished? And we decided we weren't finished. And we decided what we had to do was stay in the game. So we tried to write songs and look for songs that seemed like they would get us on the radio. Because the most important thing for us, man, was that if they heard us on the radio and they liked it, they'd come see us. You know, so we weren't going to give up. No sense recording a bunch of stuff you guys weren't going to play.
Sure.
So we got a whole lot more commercial. And, yeah, a song like The Ballad of Lucy Jordan or Carry Me Carry says so much more than a song like Sexy Eyes, but when you look at it now, I look back on that, that was our career. That was where our lives and our careers went. I mean, you know, Rod Stewart went disco. So did the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, they did.
You know what I mean? No matter how cool you are, everybody was changing it a little bit.
When I was listening to your music this morning, getting ready and putting on Sexy Eyes and things, I could have sworn that was a Bee Gees writer, but it wasn't. I always had that in my head that maybe one of the Gibb brothers helped out with that. It didn't sound like the Bee Gees.
No, yeah. Well, that was that group of not specific musicians, but the way things were being played at the time, you know. And, I think the guys who wrote that song, guys who wrote it would be very happy to hear that them to the Bee Gees.
Well, it had that vibe. I'm delighted that the new triple set, the Dr. Hook Gold, you've got three CDs, loads of the classic old stuff is on there, the Shel Silverstein stuff is there as well. It's a really beautiful mixture. It's out on Friday at the... Ooh, we don't mention the 13th, but it is out on Friday. Good luck for all of
my
that.
My lucky number. It's okay with me. That's
good,
my lucky number.
Good, good. And that, we must talk about the tour, because obviously it was supposed to be happening now-ish, I guess. But it's obviously been pushed back to 2021 and into 2022. We've got a whole bunch of UK dates here. Liverpool, Philharmonic Hall, we can get over to see you there in September next year. And then Belfast, we've got to wait all the way until March 2022.
So do I. So do I. Believe me, the hardest thing, you know, because we were going to do this stuff, man. We were going to do this. We had this, you know, 50th anniversary tour, and we were gearing to go. And then I got ill for a little while and struggled back. And by the time I felt better, the world had gone to hell. I mean, there were no more venues. There were no more gigs. It was like, you know, it was like I woke up and it was like, oh, this is a different world. So we started looking at carrying on, and everybody feels like the safest way to carry on and not to be frivolous about it is to wait till the fall of next year to start doing these shows. And we got gigs, like you said, all over the UK. We just finalized the Dublin gig and the Belfast gig. And we're going to go a little farther afield into Sweden and Norway. We're going to try to do these dates because it broke my heart. It broke my heart, man. We put this 50th anniversary tour on sale, and it started selling out everywhere. And then all of a sudden, I was just advised by doctors, sit down for a minute.
Yeah.
And so I did. And by the time I stood up again, COVID-19. You know, so it's a very, very strange set of, I even recorded an album. I even recorded a new Hook album that I was hoping, you know, oh, we'll be on the road. We'll be doing the 50th. And so now it's sort of picking up the pieces a little bit, you know, and trying to be smart about it, obviously, but trying to be positive about it, too. I mean, there's no point going out and saying, hey, I think we have a tour next year. You know, we do. The gigs are booked. Yeah. There's already tickets on sale. So staying positive is the only way I know how to, you know,
well,
to deal with.
Dennis, we're getting good news on vaccines coming through. We're getting better news globally. All being well, those dates will rock solid, and you're in good shape. You're back where you need to belong, on your feet, which is marvelous.
Yes.
And thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man.
And thank you for all the music, and I do hope we can get to see you. I've been looking back through our gigs here. I don't know if you've come to the Isle of Man in the past. Have you?
I don't think I have. I've played there at all. I don't know how we missed it.
Well, yeah.
I really don't.
Back
I used
in
to
the...
look at our itineraries and think, what are they, building cities for us to play in? You know.
Well, look, if we can squeeze in an extra date, we'd love to get you over here, because I've had so many calls this morning saying, say hi, get them to the Isle of Man. You're loved here as well, sir.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I appreciate your time, Mark. Thank you, everybody. Mark, thank you. I know you've been doing what you do for a long time, and I'm pretty sure you did a lot of stuff in support of what I do.
Bless
so,
you.
Thanks for that.
Here's to the album out Friday. Here's to the tour. Dennis, it's been
a
joy.
Man.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. Bye.
Many thanks to Dennis Le Corrier, wonderful lead singer of Dr. Hook, been at the front of that band for 50 years. Stunning. The tour coming up next year, the album came out or comes out, depending on when you're listening to this, on Friday the 13th of November. Keep coming back to this here website, manxradio.com, for podcasts of all shapes and sizes. I'm Mark Tiley. Join me every weekday morning, 9:30 to 12, with Shaw, Isle of Man.